Hey, everybody. Before we start this week's episode of The Call, I just want to send out a quick dedication. For those of you not in the Baltimore area, I just wanted to pass along some very sad information. The Baltimore Batman, Lenny Robinson. If you're around town, you might have seen him. He has he had a Batmobile that he got himself. He would dress up as Batman and he would go to hospitals and fundraisers and stuff, dress as Batman, and he would hand stuff out to kids, and he would take pictures with everybody, and he was a very caring individual. And unfortunately, this past weekend, he passed away in a car accident. So I'd like to dedicate this episode of The Call to Batman, to Lenny Robinson, and let his family know he's in our thoughts and prayers. And Josh, I don't know if you ever got to meet him. I know he was a huge Ravens fan, but everyone knows who's listened to past episodes of The Call know that I'm heavily involved with the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation because of my grandmother. Well, Lenny actually came to the last couple walks that we had in Baltimore. He brought the Batmobile down and he handed stuff out to kids. And before the walk got started, he went up on stage with one of the instructors and, like, you know, had everybody stretch out and was doing stuff with the kids. This year, this past June, he auctioned off a ride in the Batmobile, and one of my teammates of Pat's Crohn's crew actually won it and took her nephews, all three of her nephews, who were all dressed up like Batman and Batman gear. They got to ride in the Batmobile with him, and he got to drive him around a little bit. But really, really terrible loss for the entire world. He was a good guy. He helped out, and he took something that he loved, Batman, and was able to share that with the world. So, did you know him at all? Did you get to ever meet him?
I never got a chance to meet him. I've seen pictures, I've seen video, and I know it was a very great thing he was doing. But I just couldn't believe what I read, man. It's just a tragic loss.
Yeah, it really is. And he was a huge Ravens fan. The Ravens have posted stuff about him. Ray Lewis posted a picture of Ray Lewis and Lenny together. So, I mean, this was definitely just felt around the whole world. The guy gave so much of himself, and there was so much love around him. It really sucks to lose such a good person who brought so much joy to so many people's lives and to help sick kids and everything else. But this episode of The Call, we're gonna just do a quick moment of silence. So if you guys out there want to say a prayer or send out good vibes or whatever you believe in, if you just want to send all those good thoughts and everything to Lenny's family as they go through this dark time, we want to dedicate this episode to Lenny and to his memory. And thank you Lenny for everything you did for Baltimore and all the kids around here. So Lenny, this one's for you.
Said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
All right, everybody, welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and something new that I didn't know we were on, but apparently we are. Overcast. So I hope you guys dig us on there as well. We're all over the place. Joining me as always, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
And on this overcast night, how's it going, Brandon?
You know what, dude? I can talk.
Finally got a voice.
I finally have a voice. Last week, I didn't know what to do. What do you do when your hobby is talking and you can't talk? It threw me for a loop.
But I really don't know. I never had that. Well, I do have that problem every Monday after the games on Sundays at home.
Yeah, exactly. But here we are. We are finally into the preseason. The Baltimore Ravens, they've got one game under their belt. They've got another one coming up this Saturday. But let's talk about the game this past, last Thursday up against the Saints. Two big spotlights I saw. We'll go through different players, who we liked, who we didn't like. Two big spotlights for me, though. One was on Taliaferro and Campagnaro. And I thought that both those guys really shined on Thursday, and I felt as if the Ravens were like, look, we think both you guys have some potential here. Show us what you got. And I think they brought it.
They brought it, man. Campagnaro impressed me, especially that wide open. I wouldn't say it was wide open, but he made some moves. I mean, he connected with Schaub on that pass and just took off for the races and took off for the end zone. Campagnaro really shined. And overall, who shined was I have a lot to say about this game, but pretty much Campagnaro was great. I mean, I remember picking him as the kick returner. He might be making a spot on the roster here as receiver, but how about, he actually forgot about the guy. I forgot. How about Asa Jackson returning the kicks and the punt returns? So you got to make a case for Asa Jackson doing some duties. Campagnaro could be back there as well as double duty. But what really impressed me, though, is how the game started. The offense takes 16 plays, 80 yards, punches it in on fourth and goal at the one. Very great play calling to see. Just stuck with the run. They stuck it out. They had the line surge. The defense, two series, three and outs. You couldn't ask for a better start than that other than maybe a forced fumble or a pick six or an interception or something. But forcing two, three and outs, that's impressive. Just honing in on those two things. What a start. And the game as a whole, what a total team effort. From first, second, and third team, I just thought the game itself, that was a total team effort from start to finish, especially the ending. Right now, it's kind of like, put it this way, preseason, new team, you know how it's been a while for me, I hate to say that, but taking a girl out for a first date, you know, you think it goes well, but it's kind of like, okay, I'm impressed. But I like to see more, but I like what I see. And that's exactly how I would describe last Thursday with the Ravens at home. It's, I love what I see. Show me more.
Yeah, with the first line that we saw out there with Joe Flacco, you know, charging down the field, being able to get that touchdown after so many plays, I was very impressed. I mean, it was very much like Joe went out there. He did what he had to do. I liked what I saw from the new offensive coordinator. I feel as if he knows this team. He knows what works well with Justin Forsett, with Joe Flacco. So I felt as if they came out there. They were like, look, we know what we're doing. Put the rookies out there. And
I agree.
And I think that's great because I'm very confident with what this offense and this defense can do right now. The first line, though, even though it was a preseason game, score doesn't matter. For your team to come out and tromp down the field and be able to get a touchdown and do what Joe does best, honestly, Joe looks like he's going to have one of the best years of his career.
They've been saying that all along, and I said the numbers are there for him to trend upward to get 4,000 for the first time in his career. I think he's going to have a career year. And what about the play calling, Trestman? I mean, at the end of the game, calling that bootleg with keep running, it was great, man, to see the bootleg and the run on the side. And Trestman just, he had the play calls. I mean, Schaub was throwing picks in training camp and in mini camps, and he comes out and he looked great. Great's probably an over exaggeration. And he probably really looked good, but, I can't pick any faults. I mean, the team, it was a total team effort. I mean, the Saints came down, they scored. The Ravens got the ball with 2 minutes and said, okay, let's go down the field. And they just went right down the field and proved it. Again, like I say, wins aren't really tallied in the preseason, but the way they performed in a real game situation and the third team to come from behind like that and punching in at the end and 2 seconds left, I'm telling you, a total team effort. And they really cut it down. And I really have to do my research here, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first time in a long time that we actually have a starting offensive line returning all the starters intact. You know, usually we always have a musical chairs on the offensive line. So from last year to this year, we're starting the same line. And that bodes well for the offense. And I think that's where we really need to start clicking.
Yeah, and not only are we starting a lot of the same guys on the offensive line, we're starting a lot of healthy guys on that line as well. The thing that I do like, though, I want to bring this up, Dennis Pitta. It sucks for him, but he's going to be on the PUP list. He's going to be on the PUP list at least through week 7. Now, even though I would love Dennis Pitta to come back, of course, they still have some question marks about him. It's good that they're doing this now because I feel as if they will be able to work on tight ends that, that they can be prepared for, knowing that they're not going to be able to have Pitta at least through week seven.
Absolutely, and I think they're being optimistic, and they're really hoping that Pitta will be back after. You know, that's why they're putting him on the pup list. It's kind of like we're not writing him off now, but the jury's still out. Let's see how he feels after the 6 weeks, at the start of the season. After that, and come the seventh week, and see where we're at. And there are bye weeks right in that spot, so about eighth, ninth week. So, again, you know, from what I've seen, Crockett Gilmore is it, and how about Max Williams? I mean, we said this over the weekend, and you had a chance to enjoy a slaughtering at the O's game. O's just took off and poured it on, but we had a good Sunday afternoon. We were even saying that, you know, we have a lot to talk about, but how about that picture? Max Williams in the fourth quarter, fourth down, and threw a pass to Max, and Max just bulldozed his way, vintage Max Williams, just like the highlight reel in college. And he trucks his way for a first down, and that's a sign of things to come. So it's kind of like we're optimistic about Pitta, but we have Cocky Gilmore here. He's catching balls, and he's got speed. He's acting very sprightly, and he's doing great. Then you got Max Williams, who just blew us away with his performance, has a great picture out there of him leaping over a defender, created first down. I'm telling you what, man, again, it's really sucks and sad about Pitta, but right now I'm – pleased with Gilmore and Max.
Yeah,
I can't be more tickled right now.
I definitely want to talk a little bit more about Max Williams. That last play. Now, we were talking before that game got started. Is it a concern that Max Williams, a guy that just got drafted, isn't really doing a lot in training camp? We were talking about him. Does he get a spot on this roster? Does he not? What are we expecting to see from him? Now, obviously, he's playing on the third string, the third line in this game, so you weren't really expecting to see a lot from him. But besides just the play there, you're at like fourth and long. You send it to Max Williams, and it is awesome to see Max Williams get the ball, hurdle a dude, and you can tell if watch that play again. He catches that ball and he kind of pivots, and you can kind of see him reach for his knee and his hip, and you could tell like something started to hurt, but it didn't stop him. That was the whole play. I that's the big part of that play that I saw. That didn't stop him. He kept going. He wanted to prove something. He had something to show here, and he was able to get it and get to that first down marker. So the game could continue. I mean, even though it does really go for the quarterback, the third string guy Brian Renner, which we'll talk about him next. But Max Williams is the one that started that whole drive off and was able to get the game continuing, so that Brian Renner can run in and get the touchdown. But Max, obviously, I don't think he's ready to go this season or to be a starter right now, but dude showing some major heart, a lot of promise, and you definitely want that in your depth chart if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, because if you needed to call on him with a little bit more experience, he's your number one guy.
I'm going to have to disagree with you there, man.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to be, I wouldn't say sure for a starter, but he will be involved in the first team offense this season. There's without a doubt. He's going to be, him and Perryman are going to be impact rookies. Carl Davis is going to be an impact rookie. Look out for him. So I wouldn't write it off just yet because you have to figure. Nick Boyle didn't impress me so much. So, mm-hmm. And I heard in practice today, he's kind of, you know, he misread a route or mistimed a route or misran a route or something. And Joe Flacco ended up throwing a pick because he overthrew him. So from what I've read, Nick Boyle hasn't really performed up to our expectations just yet. So Max Williams exceeding those or meeting and exceeding. So I'm going to have to stop you right there and say Gilmore and Max are going to be the two set tight ends in this offense, because obviously we don't have Pitta for 6 weeks, depending if he's even going to come back. So I'm going to really step out on a limb there and say Max, it's going to be to the max.
Well, you know what? If you are correct, I'm fine with that. I definitely think he shows a little inexperience at the NFL right. level, but the only way to get better is to get that pro experience.
Well, of course.
So if he does hit some of these regular season games and he does become a big part of this team, I'm totally for it. I think it's great because he definitely showed a lot of promise and a lot of heart in this game. I'm excited to watch the next three preseason games because I want to see guys like him who you can tell want it really bad. I want to see guys like him excel.
Absolutely. And speaking of excel, I definitely wanted to touch on when, like you mentioned Campanero in the beginning. Campanero has actually been He actually in practice today, he was finding wide open positions with passes from Flacco and Schaub is what I read the report out today. So he was doing great. I heard Cocky Gilmore performed great. Speaking of that, just to break it down a little bit, the Ravens are in Philadelphia this weekend for Saturday night game at 7. But I just want to touch on this a little bit, and I don't want to spend too much time because I don't like the drama the NFL players cause a lot. But the Ravens had a joint practice today with the Philadelphia Eagles, and I don't know if you know about this, but joint practices in the NFL are becoming a big topic of discussion if they should continue, because apparently there's been some brawls and scuffles, and the Rams and Cowboys got into it with a major one this week. I'm sure if you have been hibernating, you probably haven't watched SportsCenter out there, but it's all over the place. NFL Network, SportsCenter, I mean, I'd rather watch that on SportsCenter. If it's not the Brady hearing coverage, I know that was today, and I really haven't even touched on that. But there was a concern that with these joint practices, I know the Ravens have had them in the past with the Niners, and they've had them with Philly in the past. So it's like, should this continue? And I heard today, for the Ravens and Eagles' sake, there really wasn't too much going on. I heard rumblings of a minor scuffle, and I heard Tim Tebow was the mediator and broke it up.
Of course, Tebow is.
But exactly. But with that being said, I know the Ravens aren't known for that. They're not known for that kind of behavior in a practice. And Harbaugh was, of course, I'm paraphrasing Harbaugh, but he said he got heated out there, especially when the team's put on pads and you're playing another team. These two teams are going to be fun to watch on Saturday night because starters will play more. It is on the road, and they're a live game situation, and they will have pads on. So it's just kind of like, again, it's the competitive. The Ravens have been practicing against each other for a while, so it's kind of like when you add that to the mix, of course, you're going to get chippy. It's competitive nature. I mean, we all do it. It's just, again, you know, you have to draw the line. They're professional adults. They have to handle themselves in the manner, and they're representing their teams, their cities, and the NFL. So they get everybody be careful. So I just hope that, you know, with these joint practices, the childish games stop, get back to football, do what's right, and it's just ridiculous to see.
Yeah, and our buddy Glenn Clark, who you can listen to Glenn Clark Radio, check him out on Twitter. He mentioned he's having a contest to see like who's going to get in a fight with Steve Smith first, because Steve Smith kind of came out today and he told a couple reporters that his wife's birthday is today, and he'd rather be home with his wife than being up in Philadelphia for the next couple days before this, and that was. You know, this is kind of like an NFL thing. So you got the Ravens, you got the Niners in the past who have been in Baltimore when they're doing some joint practices, who are away from home, you know, and right before the season starts, you know, that's like going to like an August version of summer school before you start regular school. You know, you want to get as much like home time, some vacation in as much as you can before, you know, the regular season or school year starts. So, I mean, the Ravens, a lot of these guys, they'd rather be home. They'd rather be in their own bed. And Philadelphia right now, I don't know if you know this or not, but Philadelphia right now is, I've heard the whole place is a mess because they're getting prepared for the Pope coming in a couple weeks. So like roads are torn up, are closed. So goodness like, gracious. It's like hard to get around the city right now.
Thank God we're not in Philly, right? I mean, Philly's a great city. I visited there. I have friends there. It's
good cheesesteaks. Good wrestling too. Got plenty of good wrestling.
Telling you, they're cheesesteaks. I'm not kidding you. I actually had one. It's the rave. You know how we are with our crabs and crab cakes in Old Bay. They got it. I mean, we get a Philly cheesesteak at a Baltimore restaurant. I'm telling you, it's not the same.
The same at all.
I went to Geno's. I didn't go to Pat's. I went to telling you. I went out there. It's legitimate. You got to do it. If you haven't done it out there, you have to do it.
Oh yeah. So hold on, real quick side note. You know, you just brought up Old Bay. Have you seen the Cal Ripken Old Bay 2131 can?
Yes, I have. It's awesome.
So I went down to the McCormick store down at the harbor over this past weekend, and I was looking for them. They are completely sold out. So I put my name on a waiting list because they were expecting another shipment in this week. They called me today and said, we got such a small shipment and they're going so quickly. We need to hide yours in the back office, and we need you to pay for it right now over the phone. So
you pay for it. That's legit.
I paid for it.
Customer service.
Yeah, they're hiding it for me, and I'm going to go pick it up tomorrow after work.
Old Bay store is hiding Brandon's can. Go down there and get it. Say, I'm here to break up Brandon Holthouse's can.
That's right.
I'll just hand it right over.
That's right. And you know, it's going to go with my Ravens Super Bowl and Ravens Here We Are Old Bay cans. I'm never going to open it.
Now. It's on my shelf right now. I'm looking at it, and it hasn't been opened. I love me some Old Bay right now. I have Old Bay, believe it or not. For dinner tonight, I ordered Wawa. Love Wawa. Plug there. You got to have Wawa. Old Bay on my beef mac and cheese. I got steak mac and cheese from Wawa, and I'm about to partake after the show. So
very cool.
I did bless it with Old Bay.
Very cool. If Wawa or McCormick would like to sponsor our show, please let us know. You can contact me at Brando Cash Pods. We'd love to have you as a sponsor on the call.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, all right. So let's get back to it. Before we leave the game that happened last week up against the Saints, we have to talk about it. We already talked about it a little bit. That last drive in the fourth quarter, for a preseason game, there was a whole lot of drama, you know, if you stuck with it the whole time. Quarterback Brian Renner, definitely a guy who he was throwing some picks. He wasn't doing well. Didn't look like he worked well under pressure. But that last play, that little little spot of brightness that he had in this game, where he looked like the hero of the game, running in, getting the touchdown, getting those guys down the field. I can see some potentially an NFL team, if not the Ravens, somebody else picking this guy up in a little bit. He showed a lot of just like Max Williams, showed plenty of heart, a lot of grit, and you want that on the gridiron. And he might not be taking Matt Schaub's place. But, I mean, for a third-string guy, he proved that he could be on the big stage one day.
He did. He performed very well, and especially when the Saints scored. I mean, I stayed for the whole game, and I'm like, man. And it was kind of like, you know, you want to see your team win. You know, I'm there rooting them hard. But, again, I was very pleased with what I saw with the first team. So I'm like, okay, we did our job. You know, I seen what I wanted to see. And when they just took the ball and they went past midfield, and especially when Max Williams got that first down, I knew they were getting in. It was kind of like that, we're going to win this game kind of deal. Let's just see how it's going to happen. And it was a great play call. I wouldn't have said I called that play, but I kind of was expecting something because I was going to say they're expecting run. I don't think they were going to do a play action. And if you're talking a game-winning standpoint, put the game on his shoulders and have him throw the ball. I just didn't see that happen. It was a great play call. It worked to a T. He went right in the end zone virtually untouched. 2 seconds left on the clock. It was great. Great clock management, great play calling, great team effort. So you're right. This could put on his resume, and you already got the game film on him. So if another team needs a backup, or there's a lot of teams out there, maybe the New York Jets, they got a sticky situation. You know, who knows? I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the NFL? So, you know, I know the Patriots already have Garoppolo, so because they're going to be operating. So that is great. So, but then you're right. You know, Schaub even performed decent enough to it's okay. He's a formidable backup, and we don't have to worry. I mean, obviously Joe Flacco ever goes down, knock on wood, played every snap. I think we'll be okay under game management standpoint. Obviously, if Flacco goes down, I'm pretty much hanging my head. Like really, but you're right. From the performance standpoint, I felt good for him, and it was a solid performance.
So let me ask you this. I mean, this is, you know, I don't even know how to discuss this, but does this kid, because he showed off a little bit, is he giving Matt Schaub a run for his money, or do you think Matt Schaub's kind of, he's penciled in, he's the backup guy, and we're just kind of giving the third string guy a look at?
I mean, I hate to say this, but I'm going to use a cliche. No one earns a spot, you got to earn a spot, but yeah. Pencil Matt Schaub in for a backup. You're not going to bring in Matt Schaub and put him as third string, but who knows? It's all about performance. Matt Schaub's throwing three picks and he's throwing three touchdowns. Matt Schaub's going to be riding the third string bench and he might be overlit. Again, it's all about performance, but what I've seen about Schaub's got backup right now. No ifs, ands, or buts.
All right. So, anyone else we should talk about from this Ravens Saint game? There is one more guy I want to bring up. Zardarius Smith, your boy. He had himself a good game. He looked pretty good in the first preseason.
He got a sack.
He did.
Got a sack.
He did.
Yes.
Did you like what he's your boy? So I got to ask you, did you like what you saw from him?
I liked what I saw. I want to see more. Mm-hmm. Again, from the whole team, from individual performances to the whole team. I liked what I saw. Good encore presentation. Let's bring it out again. Let's draw the curtain up on Saturday night and let's just go right back to work and do what we just did on Thursday. So if they can keep duplicating that every the 4 weeks in the preseason and bring that to the regular season in September, this team is going to be just a force to be reckoned with in the AFC and the NFL as a league as a whole. Yeah, Big Z, he got Knox a sack again. It was really hard for me to hone in because there were so many people I was looking out for, especially watching the secondary. But when I zoned in on Big Z, he performed up to my expectations, but I like to see more.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And that's, again, I mean, as much as fans, we want to get to the regular season and hate this preseason, that's what preseason's for guys like that. And that's why they're important. You gotta see guys like that. So let's move on. Let's talk about, the Philadelphia Eagles game. The Ravens are in Philadelphia. They're up 95 a little bit. What are you really looking for in this game? Again, we saw our first taste of our first liners, what we're going to have Joe Flacco do, what Suggs and the defense is going to bring to the table. Do you want to see some of those second, third string guys mixed in already in the second game of the preseason? Do you want to see Joe thrown to Max Williams now, or do you want to still give these guys another game to get another belt?
I want to say give another game. I think the Joe to Max Williams might happen in week three, against Redskins at home, but, they're really slow the roll there. I like to see what we saw duplicate build on it. Let's see the first team go right down the field, do what they duplicated, you know, first down after first down, not really turn the ball over, take care of the football, run the clock, game management. Defense, if they perform again, you know, three and out can't get really much better than that unless you force a turnover or score a touchdown on defense. Really just hone in, you know, do your jobs, you know. That's the basic role, and again, I might be, everybody might hate me for this, but obviously he's a Marylander, but Bill Belichick always preaches that in New England. Do your job. You know, do your role. And that's in any team should take that mantra. If you do your job, all 11 people on offense and all 11 people on defense do their job. You know, you hit your block, you seal your guy, you hit your route. Joe Flacco stays upright. You know, it's kind of like it all works as a oil machine. So I'm looking for these guys to really just duplicate. It's really simple. It's a preseason game plan. Very simple. You know, don't really open up the playbook, don't reveal too much, but just do your job and really just, you know, build upon learning the playbook, getting with these guys. And I really hope to see, I don't think it'll happen on Saturday, but we need to get Breshad Perryman back because he's nursing that knee. He should be back. Don't anticipate it on Saturday. I haven't heard any updates, but I'd like to see our first round pick get involved. I'm very excited to see his speed. But so far, again, I don't think Max Williams, it would be a treat for me to see Flacco to Max Williams. I don't think it'll happen. Croc Gilmore's got to start, and rightfully so, but we'll see what happens. I'm really looking for the secondary to really sit down and gel. I'm concerned about the secondary's health because we're thin, so I think if we have a loss in the secondary, I think that's our Achilles heel. Our front seven's solid, and I think right now our offensive line is it's our strength. And what I saw at Tele Faro, I hate to backtrack and kind of like still bring up the Saints game and then the Eagles game at once, but here's the thing. Tele Faro performed so well that he made a case for a solid backup at the number two position to spell Justin Forsett. So the running back position is very pleasing to me right now. Mm-hmm. You got Forsett, you got Tele Faro. I heard Buck Allen, he broke off a run today in practice. He's making plays, so right now I'm feeling very confident with the depth we have. It's just I just want to see more, and can we stay healthy is the big question.
Yeah, we talked about Breshad Perryman a little bit. He got an MRI done. Everything looks to be okay. They don't really know like what his deal is right now. But honestly, like looking at the last game, like did you really miss him out on the field? Of course, having a guy like him, like a Torrey Smith like guy with the wheels underneath him, is going to be an addition to your team. But like, did you feel that loss in the first game? Cause I sure didn't. Like, I want him on the field, but at the same time, I feel like we're pretty good.
I mean, yeah, you're right. I feel we're pretty good too, but it's show me more. But here's the thing. If we're this good and we went right down the field and scored without him, it's kind of like an added bonus. It's okay. We get our first draft pick healthy, speed burner. We get him back. It's just, okay, we got another weapon for Joe Flacco to play around with out there. So it's kind of like, I like it. And then we didn't even have Max Williams on the first team. So it's kind of like, I think if Perryman comes back, he's going to be worked in the second and third teams. He's not going to come back and start right away on the first team. But you're going to see it. So again, like a Max Williams, performance-wise, if he catches balls and he looks great, they're going to work him in somehow. And if they work him in on the regular season on third downs or one or two plays every series, it might happen. But for the most part, you don't draft these guys and they might not sit on the bench. They're going to make an immediate impact. I mean, we drafted Torrey Smith and he was an immediate starter.
Right.
We drafted Jimmy Smith, immediate starter. So these high picks, we don't draft these guys, especially a Perryman and a Max Williams, and they're not sitting. That's why they're going to get involved, and we need these guys, especially with Pitta being out, especially with our receiving core being depleted. Kamar Aiken, I heard, is doing great. I'd like to see more of what Marlon Brown can do.
Yeah, he was very quiet. Right now, he was very quiet last week.
He's been quiet.
I was kind of upset to see not a lot of Marlon Brown in the first game.
I was too. So that's another thing I want to look out for on Saturday night is, you know, if Marlon Brown can get worked in, whether it's the first, second, or third offense, I'd like to see it. But right now, right now status quo in Ravens Nation. I mean, we look good. Can't wait to see it on their lights on Saturday night. And being that it's in Philly, it's kind of tempting to go up there. Being a preseason game, I'm thinking, drive up 95 an hour, score maybe a nice set of cheap tickets. I'm really thinking about going up there and watching us play.
You know, you can do
I'm really
that.
Considering it.
I have to marry a couple friends of mine, so I'm going to be.
Oh, well, look at you. Oh, that's right. They have Joey Officion.
Yeah. I'm the World War One soldier who's going to be officiating a wedding on Saturday night. So I won't
just
be able to go.
Ready flags.
I won't be able to go, but I will be having a good time downtown. So I'll be holding the fort down if you
there
go up
you
to
go.
Philadelphia. You know, this is also be a good thing for the Ravens, too, because we've talked about this in the past, and there's some Eagle fans that listen to us, and this isn't to say anything bad about them, but Philadelphia is known to be a very passionate fan base, and they can be kind of hostile to visitors. So, you know, for the Ravens to go up there and get a lot of crowd noise and get a lot of people maybe not in their own favor, that might be good for the Ravens as well, especially for these new guys, because I'm sure that Max Williams and people like that have been showered with positivity coming into Baltimore. So it might be good to have a couple fans screaming, "You suck," to these guys.
Oh, well, that too. And then being that their first two games are on the road, they're going to have to get used to it very quickly because
right.
All of our home games are backloaded. All of our away games are frontloaded. So they're going to get used to hearing "you suck" and this and that really quickly because you're going to have to get used to it. And I like it too because the way our schedule sets up, especially like that, but we play a preseason game on the road mm-hmm. and then we're on the road. So we're the Ravens, other than being at M&T Bank next Saturday against the Redskins, we're not going to see them until almost a whole month at back at the bank, and then we get to see them a lot more at the end of the year. But they're on the road in the preseason, and they're on the road two straight weeks, and they'll come home in week three. So, again, they're going to have to get used to being on the road quickly. So starting this week, starting in preseason, they're going to be on the road three out of the next 5 weeks. So they're going to have to get used to it, and I really can't wait to see how it all comes down and if they handle it and handle it well. So these road games – especially this one, because this is the road game that the Stars are going to play a lot for, because the fourth one on the road, they're really not going to play much. So you're going to really see how they respond to crowd noise and criticism and really not being the confines of M&T Bank. So it's going to be great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. So did we cover everything? Anything we missed? Anything we should do to get prepared for Philadelphia that we haven't talked about?
Prepared? Let's just play hard, and I think we covered it to the max, my friend.
All right, very cool. Well, this was a nice little quickie preseason show. It's good to be back and be able to talk and not have to, you know, struggle getting my words out or whatever. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you know you can reach us. We are both on Twitter. You can find me at Brando Cash. And where can people follow you at, Josh?
They can follow me, as always, at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. If you are on Facebook, go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. You can also go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like Brando Cash Entertainment, you get to see photos, videos, hear podcasts about The Call and all other kinds of stuff. Go to BrandoCash.com for all the information you're ever going to need. We are available all over the place. Tell your friends about us. Get ready for Ravens football. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm. We are available on Overcast, anywhere that you can listen to podcasts. I don't know if there's other really cool ones out there and you guys have found us on them. Let us know so we can promote them, because it'd be cool to be like all over the place. But we are available anywhere you guys want to listen to us. It's free. Not much is free in this world anymore, and you get this show for free. So all we do in return, we want you guys to tell people about the show, okay? So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the Call podcast, and you should too. Now, since it is still the preseason, guys, I'm going to put this out there, okay? Not much time is left until the regular season starts. The deal is still out there. If you go in, you write us an iTunes review, you take a little screen grab, you email it to me, brandocashpods@gmail.com. You will get a full-length version of our intro song for free. All you got to do is write us an iTunes review. I'm giving you guys until the start of the regular season. And until that happens, you give us reviews after the regular season starts. I don't know when I'm going to make that available again. But
oh, tough one.
There you go.
And I did see, by the way, shout out to those reviews. We did see the iTunes reviews. Very awesome, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it is great.
I'm tickled to death.
I love hearing from people, especially like, because you know, you and I, we're Baltimore, you know, born and bred. So it's awesome that we get to talk with Baltimore Ravens fans that are across the country, across the world, all over the place. So, you know, we were talking about going down to the Inner Harbor, going to get an Old Bay can. A lot of fans can't do that. And if we can bring a little flavor of Baltimore to you guys, because I saw one of the reviews talked about how much they love our Baltimorean accents.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that made me laugh so hard. I was so happy to see that. If we can bring a little Baltimore to you guys wherever you live, that is awesome. That's why we do this show. Except, you know, we do the show for you guys, but also for us, because we love talking Baltimore Ravens football. But other than that, that's all you got to do, guys. Leave us a review. Send us a little screen grab at brandocashpods@gmail.com, and you will get the full length song for our intro music, okay? From our friends Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly. So I think that's it for the show this week. It's good to be back. Of course, we're getting ready for Saturday night. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, and thank you all for listening. It is week number 2 in the preseason. We're getting closer to that ever important first game of the year, and I know we're all itching to get there, but we just got to get these preseason games under the belt. But hey, it's Ravens football. I'm not complaining. I know you all aren't too. It was great to see everybody out at the bank on Saturday, or Thursday I should say, but now we have a game coming on Saturday in enemy territory in Philadelphia against our birds in the north, the Eagles. Really can't wait to see how it all pans out. Again, covering it all, we just want a good solid game, root our birds hard, and hey, just put the game plan together. Just whatever happens, just root hard. If you're going up there to the game, be safe. Really can't wait to get after Saturday night under the lights, preseason week number 2. Here we go. We're going to root hard Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high in preseason.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.